There's a paper that has, on a Saturday, has a thing of kind of a review of a church. So you read the paper on a Saturday and you read about a church meeting you can go to. And they got a kind of a five-star system. So it's rated in terms of welcome. It's also rated in terms of preach. And there's hope, because the third area is refreshments. So I would definitely put you in for kind of five-star refreshments, at least, on that one. So it's quite sobering, really, when you read about it, because you think, what would it be like at home, kind of thing. And sometimes we're not the most friendliest, and sometimes the preaching isn't that good, and sometimes, but it's life, it's people. That's how it is sometimes, isn't it? A lot of time it's great. And so on. Now, joy, it's a real joy to be with you all. And I was just saying to someone earlier, it's time flies. I remember sitting in a field at Shepton Mallet, New Wine, in, what was it, August, whenever it was? Yeah. So we've just paid up to go to Peterborough, and we might well come and squat with you guys again. So there you go. I want to talk from Isaiah 6, but before that, I want to read some verses from 2 Chronicles 26. And there's some stuff that I'm travelling with that I'm just going to ask you to walk with me in. If you wanted a title for this, it would be The Journey of Faith with God's Glory. The Journey of Faith with God's Glory. And something I really felt quickened by as we were singing and worshipping God for you. And I think this hopefully will help unfold things a bit. In my heart, there's something if I could say for you guys. Just really, the Lord doesn't want you to forget his glory. Amen. Right? Don't forget the glory. And maybe this preach will kind of amplify that a little bit as well. But that's how I really felt in our singing, in reaching to God, in praying and so on. The Lord doesn't want you, don't forget his glory. In everything you do, don't forget it, because that's what it's about. Okay, and this will be an encouragement in that. Someone said to me, you can't lead a horse to water, but you can put salt in its oats. And I can't make you drink, I can't make you thirsty, I can't make you hungry, whatever. But hopefully I can put some salt in the oats. And I'm on a mission to stir you a bit in your pursuit of God, as I'm being stirred as well, okay? Could do a nice little homey talk and everything, and it'll be good, I hope. But I do want you to be stirred as well, okay? And we haven't got that much time, so we'll press on. So 2 Chronicles 26. I'm just going to read the first three verses, and then I'll read from 16 to 23. 2 Chronicles 26. Now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Elath and restored it to Judah after the king rested with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. Now, just over into 16 of that. And Uzziah, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord who were valiant men, and they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, it's not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah became furious. He had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord beside the incense of altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out. I'm not surprised. Because the Lord had struck him. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from first to last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, wrote. So Uzziah rested with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of burial, which belonged to the kings. For they said, he's a leper. Then Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. So Uzziah was a king. He was a king for a long time, but he got proud. And he wanted to burn incense. He wanted to do something which was a priestly function. And he wasn't permitted to do that, but he got proud. He basically wanted to rule everything in one sense, including the spiritual responsibilities, if you like. Now, over into Isaiah 6. So remember Uzziah, he got leprosy, he got proud, he messed with stuff he shouldn't have messed with. He ends up, for 10 years I think it is, in a house separate to the temple. He's no longer king, right? So Uzziah, he didn't die king, but he was king for 52 years. Now, into Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the hem of his robe, or the train of his robe, filled the temple. And above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And then I said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then one of the seraphim flew to me, and having in his hand a live coal which he'd taken with the tongues from the altar, he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, and so on. Faith, the journey of faith. Three things key to faith. One is seeing, the second is turning, and third is transformation. Those three things are key to our journey: seeing, turning, and transformation, or changing. Seeing, turning, transformation. I had an encounter with God in 1982, and I'm still trying to work out what went on. I'm still being converted, really, okay? It was like a bolt of lightning. The storm had been brewing for a few years, but God came to me in a house on the A6 in Leicestershire, and there you go. Now, I know other people. I've got children who are Christians who were raised in the faith, and they didn't necessarily have the kind of, you know, once I was blind, now I see, encounter, and so on. And whether we have a story that's about instant impact, or whether it's a gradual unfolding, which a number of children brought up in Christian homes, you know, they persevered. There came a time where they embraced the faith of their parents. They feel they've got no big story to tell. But actually, whether you've got a big story or not, is not the issue. The issue is, what have you seen? Have you seen something? And has that seeing caused you to turn? And in your turning to God and turning away from things, in that turning, are you changing? Because God's after transformation. I can do something God can't. I can change. I, the Lord, do not change. But you, Tony, you need to change big time. seeing, turning, and Isaiah, he has an encounter with God. Now, for Isaiah, he'd grown up with Uzziah in the picture. I'm not too sure how old Isaiah is. That's why I want you to read that first bit, so you get an idea. So when Isaiah says, in the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. It was the year Uzziah died. I saw God. Something about that year. When he died, I saw God. And I was thinking, what would that be like for me? And the only thing I could liken it to, you know, an awareness, this person who's been part of the fabric of your life, authority figure, king. For me, it's a bit like when the Queen dies. I mean, you know, she's doing, she's amazing how she keeps going. But we're near, aren't we? And maybe one day I'll hear the news will be the Queen has died. You know, God bless her, God work in her, and so on. But for me, that would be a kind of a bit of a mind shift, because I've grown up with the Queen, a part of the fabric of my life. She's on my coins, she's on my stamps. You know, here's the Queen. In the year the Queen died. But Uzziah wasn't reigning. He'd been banished to a separate house. And some people say Isaiah was a priest. So the fact that Isaiah may well have been a priest and Uzziah had been excluded because he tried to handle something in terms of a priestly function that he couldn't. Isaiah traveled with a sense of the impact of this man's life and what God had judged him with. And in the year Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. For me, it might be like in the year that Queen Elizabeth died, I saw. I know in the year that Princess Diana died, we were asked, would we consider going to Glastonbury? Uzziah, his name, if you've got a study Bible, means God is my strength. And I just started to think about that. In the year my God is my strength died, I saw God. And God's really been encouraging us this morning, hasn't he? That he's here. We have the treasure in clay vessels. He'll cover you in his wings. Even when there's turmoil, he's still there. Encouragement from God this morning. Sometimes you even get to the point where it feels like God as my strength has just died. I've got nothing left. And at that point, I see God. In the year God is my strength happened, I saw God. This is what Isaiah would have been hearing. He would have been saying, in the year Uzziah died, I saw God seeing. What did Isaiah say? Well, my eyes have seen the King. My eyes have seen something. My eyes have seen God. I love our kind of churches. Family. You know, the DNA of family. We're not flash. We're not slick. We're about, relationships. Yeah. We're about good cake, yeah. Coffee, yeah. Tea. We're about everybody can contribute. Yeah. It's nice and homely. God's home is with his people. But all that is fantastic. But it's part of a bigger picture. Yeah. Which is the glory of God. Yeah. And sometimes we can park at all that because we enjoy it so much. I think that's what it's about. The good can become a hindrance to the better. As church, our common life is we've seen something. I'm not fussed whether it's gradual or whether it's, you know, power encounter. That's not the issue. The fact is, have you seen him or are you seeking him? Have you seen something? Okay. In the year that Uzziah died, I saw God. I saw God. When was the last time you were able to say that about a time of prayer that you had? Or your own devotion in the Word? I saw God. And that seeing can be in different ways. It can be a quickening of a word. It can be, I don't know, whatever. God's God. But our common root is we've seen something. God has graced us with having seen God. And for Isaiah, it was a real game changer. I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. 1982, in some way, I saw God. And as I said, I'm still trying. I'm recovering. I'm in recovery. God ruined me. I had a career in art all set up. I got a first at college. People were buying my artworks when I was 21. They were buying my artworks because they're saying they're seminal works. In other words, they'd make a bit of money. They'd invest in them. If you know anybody, I was shortlisted for a show at the Serpentine Gallery with best graduates in London. And God came to me. And he's kind of ruined it all. How many people who lead us in play music are actually rock stars who never made it?
You quite think so, rock star.
But you chose to serve these people called church instead of trying to be the next whoever. God ruined it. We got it all set up. Now, you can be a rock star for Jesus, that's okay. Sometimes people go into church culture because they didn't quite make it out in elsewhere. So they want to become a rock star for Jesus and sort of do it in the church. I'm not talking about that. I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. And what did it happen? Initially, what happened to Isaiah? I saw God. And I thought, oh, your loving arms are all around me, Lord. Isn't it wonderful? I saw God. I saw God, and I was ruined. And I said, woe. Woe. Woe is me. There's been some stuff coming out of my mouth that's not been good. I am a person of unclean lips. That's what he says. And you know what? I've been hanging around with people that I'm amongst unclean people. Woe is me. I've seen the King. Woe is me. It's ruined. He saw the glory of God. And it would seem like it was in a temple, still in the temple. And he says, I saw God, and God, and he was lifted up. It wasn't out of view, but I saw him high and lifted up. And his hem filled the temple. I saw God, and the thing about God is, I do believe that our pursuit of the glory of God, it does require effort. Yeah. Mm. Yes. God's glory is other than us. It's outside of us, but he's in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Treasures in earth and vessels, so that glory might be of him. But even though we're reading the Old Testament, it's still God's glory is other. It's outside us, in a sense. We have to stretch. It's high, but it's not unreachable. Now, here's a beautiful. This is why I prefer his hem filled the temple. The hem filling the place of God's dwelling, the temple on earth now is the church. The glory of God said, I saw it filling the place of the believing community. Well, praise God, we're in Jesus. And even though God is a bit higher than us, he came down and he said, if you can just touch his hem, you'll get healed. God is touchable now. You touch his hem. You push on through. Make a bit of effort. Push on through. You touch his hem. You haven't... God is not so far away that we have to call him down. It's not so far below that we have to call him up. But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That if you believe in your heart and confess, Jesus is Lord and so on, God is always near. I saw the Lord seeing. I think it's really important for mission as well, that we're about more than just getting someone to agree to five statements: admit, believe, commit, decide, explore, follow, gather. And so it's about just getting people to sign up to a set of principles. We're traveling with a person called God. Amen. Not a doctrine of faith, not some good life principles, right?
Praise God.
We're about the glory of God.
God.
I'm seeing. I saw God, and it ruined me. I saw God. Now, sometimes the gospel can feel like bad news before it's good news. And I think this is true for discipleship as well, you see, because we have seasons where we get very comfortable. It gets very, me and Jesus. And we reinvent a kind of Care Bear God. And if you're a wee bit old, you remember Care Bears?
Yeah.
And the Care Bears are great. Our kids love Care Bears. It's a cuddly God who takes care of you, you know, the Care Bears. And I know where I'm coming from. We can't make God so remote that you can't worship him. And you can't make him so near that you're not in awe of him.
Yeah.
Somehow we are in, our lives are hid with Christ in God, that I can lay my head on his breast just like John. But I can also fall down like a dead man, just like John. But we kind of invent the kind of God that brings us comfort and that we like. And God comes now and then in his grace, praise God, and he just shakes it all up. And he gets you to see again. And you go, my goodness me, this God's holy. My goodness me, this God is glorious. My goodness me, this is God I'm talking about. This is God I'm living with. This is God who lives in me. This is God. And from that, you turn again towards him. And God shows you things. Maybe my speech hasn't been too good lately. Maybe I've been saying things I shouldn't have been saying. Maybe I've had a whole load of stuff that came out that just wasn't good. And maybe some of the people I've been saying it to, and maybe I've been hanging out with people who are not, and maybe I've been looking at stuff and so on and so on. God has to come and he shows us and we turn and we change. I'm in a position to change. And I believe that's a cyclical thing. It goes on and on. Process of change with God. Now the danger is when I say, I am Tony, I cannot change or I will not change. And I park at the fact that I met God in 1982. And you know, I have a stale testimony. God tested me. Yeah, oh, I remember when I met the Lord in 1982. Great, that's fantastic. But we're in 2019. It's 19, isn't it? Yeah. We're in 2019. Where's the Lord today for you? Where's the Lord today for me? I see the Lord. I saw God. I saw God. I saw God and he touched my lips. I used to swear like a bleep, 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 bleep person. And one of the things that freaked out my friends was when I was converted, I stopped swearing like that. I've sworn now and then over the years when, you know, you've hit your hand or I don't know, you kicked the cat and you shouldn't have done it. I don't know, whatever. But, you know, I'm not saying I'm sinless. But, I mean, big time compared to what it was like. So my friends were freaked out by it. It was kind of, Tony's got religion. And you know what? You don't swear. Because every other sentence was bleep, bleep. Now listen, I didn't go on a thou shalt not swear course. 10 sessions. Freedom in Christ. Which we do, freedom in Christ in our church. Great. I didn't even try to stop. I saw God. I got a new nature. I saw God. And that's how change, real lasting change comes, isn't it, if we're honest. We have to be able to see something bigger and better. And it's really beautiful how God encourages us and says, you know what, it's tough right now, but I'm with you. You know why he says that? So that I don't become so self-consumed that all that fills my mind and my heart is my little mini-universe and all the stuff that I'm having to carry. God comes and he says, okay, I'm with you. I'm going to cover you. Leave some space for other people. Leave some space so you're not always consumed by your needs and your pressures. So you can actually hear afresh and you can change and be like me. You see, when the fall happened, Adam and Eve, we were made in the likeness of God. We were made in the image of God. But the capacity for likeness got marred by sin, by the fall. But Jesus came so that the capacity to be like God is restored. All have sinned and fallen short. Yeah? But the tragedy is what we fell from. The tragedy isn't the fact that we sinned. The tragedy is the bigger picture, that we fell short of the glory, but Christ has come to restore us to the glory of God. So that it is now possible to change and to become more and more Christ-like. You know, they say every preacher, if you're a finger-pointing preacher, you know, one at everyone, but at least four back at yourself. I got four and five even. But you know what? If I've been travelling through life with God and I'm not changing, there's something out of kilter somewhere. If you and I are not more Christ-like in 5 years' time than we are now, with all our lovely cakes and all our lovely singing and all our sermons and all our books and all our conferences and all, if somehow the beauty of Jesus isn't coming through, that's, you know, we're probably doing it wrong. Because God is after the glory of God in people. The Word made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we saw his glory. The Word becoming, we saw glory. We actually saw glory in a human being in a way we'd never ever seen it before. Glory got legs and walked. And we saw the glory of God and we touched it. Now God wants that for us. That actually people do see something different in us. I can't make it happen. Jesus told stories, didn't he? He said, who of you, by worrying, can add even an inch to your stature? But I can somehow be in a place like Isaiah where I'm before God and I'm seeing God and I say, okay, God, maybe you've got to touch my lips. Maybe you've got to touch my eyes. And maybe you've got to touch my will again, that I will say, here am I. Seeing, turning, transformation, journey of discipleship. Woe is me, Isaiah said. I am lost, he said. I live amongst. It touches, the glory of God touches everything. T- touches absolutely everything. Now, here's, again, just the beautiful grace of God. If I was in Isaiah's shoes, I'm thinking, I'm wrecked. I'm out of here. But what does God do? He gets a coal and he touches the seraphim. Comes and God touches him. And he says, yeah, you're right. You are unclean. And you're right. Your mouth does need sorting out. And you're right. You need to see differently. You're right. And what does God do? He doesn't condemn him. He gets a coal and touches his lips. And he says, right, you're clean. Your iniquity's gone. You're clean. We've got stuff to do. Right, who will go? Me. I'll go. In a millisecond, if Isaiah had a kind of inferiority complex, it got dealt with. Mm-hmm. I think I might be reading too much in, but I'll risk it. I think maybe before then, Isaiah, he could have really talked himself out. Mm. I'm not worthy. I'm unclean. I dwell with unclean people. Who am I? Here am I. Send him. Here am I. Send her. No. In a millisecond, soon as after he's being touched, God says, who will go? Me. I'll go. Me. Who will go? Me. Send me. I'll go. Send me. Yeah, who will go for us? Me, God. That one you've touched. That one who needed his mouth sorting out. That one who had to get his eyes tested again. That one. Yeah, me. Send me. Beautiful thing, right? And here's the thing. God provides the very means for him to stay in the holiness of God. God isn't wanting to kick him out from his presence. God isn't wanting to just show him how awful he is and leave it at that. God kisses him. And how do you put it? Jesus, isn't Jesus God's kiss for humanity? Isn't Jesus God's kiss that makes us clean? Isn't Jesus the one who enables us to stay qualified, who enables us to stay in the presence of God? If we sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Kiss of God comes and he enables Isaiah to stay in the holy place, to stay in there. So we can be as near to God as we allow ourselves to be. No matter how much we've messed up, no matter if we're struggling with stuff, the biggest lie is you've messed up so much there's no place for you. The biggest lie is you'll never bounce back from this one. Because it's not about my performance, it's about the fact that God in Jesus has got some big whacking coal and whacked it on me and made me clean. And God says, it's gone. I've dealt with your iniquity. Now then, Isaiah, stop rolling around in self-pity. Stop telling me, don't get you're unworthy anymore. There's work. Now, I think for Isaiah, it is the pursuit of God's glory that kept him, and the pursuit of God's glory that motivate him. Isaiah 55, a bit later on, whether you believe it's the same Isaiah or not, but it's in the book. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Let the wicked forsake his own way. Turn to the Lord and he will abundantly pardon. Now, if I was just to end, if I was to move it forward a bit for us, right? I guess most of the people in the room are Christians. You've been with God a little while. What does it mean for us then? Okay. Well, Isaiah, he says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Well, what is it? It struck me one of the songs today we were singing about, you know, the kingdom has come and his reign is... But it hasn't come in the way, in the hope of that song, has it? Has it? Prophetically, it has. Mm-hmm. And it's finished. But there's a whole lot of ugly stuff in the world that would tell me that the kingdom hasn't come for people. But it's coming. It is coming. Now, Isaiah, God says to Isaiah, God allows Isaiah to hear, the earth is full of the glory of the Lord. That's what God's saying. That's what the seraphim are crying out. Holy, holy, holy. The earth is full of the glory of the Lord. But Isaiah's not seeing glory. He's seeing, I dwell with an unclean people. He's seeing the faith community behaving in terrible ways. He's seeing a whole load of ugly stuff. But what he's meant to hear is, the whole earth is full of the glory of the Lord. And these creatures are saying it back and forth. The whole earth is full of the glory of the Lord. Holy, 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 holy. The whole earth is full of the glory of the Lord. And it's going on and on and on and on. And faith requires us to see glory where other people don't. Faith requires that. Faith requires us to choose to believe that there is far more good around than the bad. And not to be crushed. And not to lose hope. Amen. The earth is filled with the glory of the Lord. The earth is full. You see, when God meets with us, whether it's, you know, particular... not a one-off, but a real kind of kickstart in the faith. Or if it's just this gradual unfolding or different encounters. Christianity, at the end of the day, it's about seeing, isn't it? It's about seeing. And God will cause us to see God. Our concept of God has to change. The glory of God rewires how we see God. It has to get rewired somehow. But also it causes us how we see humanity to change, how we see people. When we see God, our revelation of God, but there's a revelation of what people are to God. Glory in the earth. Glory in the earth. That's what I've got to go for. Even though there's a lot of ugliness at the minute, it's a lot of stuff. It's not me to kind of come up with some theological answer of why does God allow suffering? Why do crap things happen to good people? Why did crap things happen to people who weren't even looking for crap things to happen? Why? I mean, we know the horrible things. Yeah. It's not for me to go round and round and round and round trying to defend God and justify it. I can't. God is beyond me in that sense. I cannot justify it. But if I'm going to stay sane and I'm going to stay full of light and hope, somehow I've got to say, God, help me to be on your wavelength. The earth is full of the glory. I'm not denying the ugliness, but there is glory in the earth. Unsaved people do some good things, do some beautiful things. There is glory in the mess. God, help me to see it and not to be some kind of person who's got to have it all right in my head to justify God. God's big enough to look after himself. I wouldn't do it God's way if I was God. Frankly, I wouldn't. It's not the best way to get people to believe how he does things. But it's who he is. I've come to him on his terms. I think someone said, Spurgeon said, people are trying to guard the truth. He said, words to the effect, I can't think of anything more foolish. You've got to let it out. It's like trying to guard a lion. You've got to let it roam. Not that he's going to eat everybody up, but this thing's alive. It's got to be given space. But then, what did he see? He saw the throne. What does the glory entail? Well, glory entails seeing the earth differently. We haven't got time, but there's a whole thing of stewardship and the planet and, you know, whatever. Just think for a minute, if it's not all going to go up and get nuked. I know some people believe that. Oh, wait, don't worry, it's all going to get burnt up anyway, isn't it? Well, what happens if it's not? What happens if he's saying God is, there's going to be a new earth and a new heavens, which is still earth. It's still earth. There's a whole thing around that. But what did he see? He said, I saw the throne. I saw the kingdom. I saw the throne. I saw the fact that God is king. And I saw the hem or the trail fill the temple, fill the believing, the place of believing people. I saw God fill it. As well as us turning, God has to periodically rewire how we see the world, rewire how we see the kingdom, and rewire how we see church. It's all part of the journey of living in glory, that God is a living, moving, fluid, breathing being, not a static sense of faith principles to live by. He's God. Amen. I saw the Lord. Amen. And our prayer is that we're going to see him. See him some more. But sometimes you just have to get some salt in the oats. It makes me want to get a bit thirsty again. And you know what? God, in the grace of God, I've had to do it myself many times when I've lost zeal. When I can't be bothered about the lost. When I'm done with church, I have time again to say, God, I am so sorry. I'm not just not feeling it right now. You know, I've had enough. And I just say, God, I am responsible for losing my zeal. I'm sorry. I let things fill the space. Disappointment, hurts, whatever. I let it take up too much room and I lost sight of the glory of God. I'm really sorry, God. And that's all you need to do. Amen. That's all you need to do. Amen. 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 All right, let's stand together, shall we?